Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
On your mind, that number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Nikki.
Yeah, it's Ian.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the FDA and its sneaky, terrible ban of Kratom without actually being able to ban it. They don't have the legal right to ban it, and they're trying to do a runaround type of way to do this. It's really ridiculous.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, but it's new as of, like, this month.
What's Kratom?
Well, Kratom is a drug. It's a tea, usually sold as a tea. It's a leaf that grows on a bush in Thailand and other places like that over there, probably in, like, South Asia. And it can act as a opiate, even though it's technically not an opiate. It acts on the opiate receptors, and it's a drug that lots of people enjoy, which they don't really need to give any kind of reason for that, but a lot of people have used it to get off of harder drugs, and it just helps
like
a lot of people.
Like actual heroin, right?
Yeah, because it's not a similar effect to heroin, but it's like it can...
Well, it affects the same receptors,
right.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But this is nothing new. You know, they've banned psychedelic mushrooms and, you know, opium. Opium is, you know, I don't know if it's similar to Kratom, but...
What's crazy to me is, after I read this letter that I'm going to read tonight, it seems that there's a pretty high bar that they have to reach to show that a drug is dangerous in order to get it put on a Schedule 1 on the... drug schedule.
Yeah.
The federal drug schedule that makes things illegal.
That seems kind of surprising to me considering marijuana's on Schedule 1.
That's what I was going to say. Like, considering that it's such a high bar and it's so difficult for them to, as they've been planning, get Kratom put on Schedule 1, it seems crazy that mushrooms, you know, marijuana, seems crazy that a lot of things are Schedule 1.
I don't think mushrooms are Schedule 1.
Oh.
I could be wrong about that. I'll check.
Well, they're illegal. They're like, what?
Well, there's different scheduling levels are still illegal. It's just Schedule 1 is the most illegal.
That's what they want to make.
So is that what it is? Because I was wondering if, like, the drug classes and the schedules, is it, like, how dangerous it is?
Or
how?
Claim, yeah.
That's why marijuana is, like, so ridiculous. It's scheduled as, like...
Yeah.
It's scheduled as high as heroin. Heroin is a Schedule 1.
If you take marijuana, you will be such a danger to society and yourself that it's, like... There's almost no other drug you can do that's worse.
Okay, you were right, Bonnie. Psilocybin, which is the active chemical in mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, is a Schedule 1 substance.
Wow.
And that's
it's just so crazy because no one has ever overdosed on mushrooms, or that I know of, but definitely not marijuana, and to even put it in the same class as things like heroin and fentanyl that kill people
right
every single day.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Schedule 1 drugs are drugs that have no accepted medical use, which is obviously not true of marijuana. It's now being prescribed medically in most of the states, the supermajority of the states. And that's not even true of heroin, by the way. Heroin
they
has
used to have
absolutely medical
heroin and cocaine,
uses. So it's just ridiculous.
Now they just use morphine, which is like heroin, but a doctor gets it.
That's
too.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even see a problem with a medical use for heroin for pain relief or whatever. I mean, as if the pills that like the Percocet and the you know, like oxycodone and all of those, as if those aren't just as bad as heroin. The only the big difference is it's not controlled like it would be if it's being created in a lab and prescribed to you by your doctor. That's why things like heroin and fentanyl are more dangerous than pills, because there's no... It's just so restricted by the government that people aren't able to, like, have any sort of consistency, and you have to get it from sketchy people. You can't just buy it from a store that's been, you know, vetted and...
And it's even worse when, in places like New Hampshire, I know someone put in a bill to try to change this law. Actually, a lady that is our district, Jody Newell, she put in a bill to try to change this law, but it's even harder when states make testing equipment illegal. So,
which is, then that's ridiculous too, because you'd think, I mean, because their whole argument is, oh, it's not safe, people are dying, that's like their big thing. They want, they, you know, they're hiding under the guise of safety. But if you really wanted people to be safe, wouldn't you, why would you ever make testing equipment illegal? That doesn't make any sense at all.
It just sounds like you want to make it unsafe. I don't really know, but it's ridiculous. I watched a cop testify against that bill, and it was so ridiculous. He was like, if we just have people setting up drug testing places, it'll be like, it's fine, just do drugs. Basically,
they're doing it anyways.
And they're doing it and dying because they don't know what's in it. They don't know there's fentanyl in this heroin that they thought was just heroin, for example.
Did he say, I don't remember him saying that. I remember him saying, like, that that testing equipment is used by drug cartels.
He did say that, too.
Yeah,
I was just giving, like, the...
In New Hampshire?
Yeah. So therefore, we can't have legal testing equipment because drug cartels. And
his whole point,
absurd.
It's not like I was giving a quote, but his whole point was like, if people are testing drugs, it's just going to encourage them to do drugs.
I mean, why not?
It encourages them to be safe while they're doing drugs.
And they're already doing them.
Which they're going to do anyway. We were actually just talking last week with Dana Larson, who is just a heroic level drug freedom activist. If you missed that interview, I highly recommend you grab last Friday's show. Really interesting guy who set up the he's been doing for like almost two decades now in Vancouver, Canada. He's been selling marijuana. He started selling cannabis before it was legal to
do
so. I want
to try his cocaine leaf smoothies.
He opened marijuana sales locations before it was legal to do
awesome.
He encouraged other people to do that, and that's how Canada ultimately legalized it, because it was already happening and they knew they couldn't stop it. Now he's doing the same thing with mushrooms, and he's now added LSD and DMT to the list of things he's just openly selling.
That's awesome.
in his storefront. But more importantly, he's also created a program to you can't really call it a business, a charity, to do free drug testing for people in Vancouver. They also take mailed-in samples, and they're getting over 30 samples submitted per day. The vast majority of them are coming in, people physically coming in person and, you know, handing over what they bought as heroin or what they bought as cocaine, and then they put it through a machine, and the machine gives them a readout on what it actually is. They don't have to pay for the service.
That's
so
crazy.
It really does show that even though drug users are kind of like maligned as these shiftless people who just don't care about their health or anything like that, and surely there are those people, but there's a lot of them who, given the access to the resource of testing equipment, will use that resource. Doesn't mean they themselves are going to buy the equipment or spend the time to send it away, but if they can just stop into a storefront, hand over a sample to somebody, and then 15 minutes later, they get an answer as to what they actually have purchased on the black market. That is a life-saving measure. And they're doing 1,200 samples a month now at this location.
And what's the website again? Because I remember I'm getting it out.
I think it's getyourdrugstested.com.
Getyourdrugstested.com, or is it .canada?
It's .com.
Oh,
GetYourDrugsTested.com. If you're not in Canada, it's kind of useless to you because you would have to actually traverse border patrols to...
You might as well just get your own testing kit at that point.
I was thinking you were going to say because of like the duties or whatever you have to pay. I was like, not even thinking about the fact you'd be sending illegal drugs.
He did say if you could get it to him, he would test it.
Hmm.
Of course, you know, you're dealing with the Canadian Border Patrol at that point, and they may very well just seize your shipment, and you just have to be careful. If you're in the United States and you want to do drug testing, check out ecstasydata.org. I think they renamed the site. It is now drugsdata.org. The difference being, drugs data, you have to pay them. You have to send a sample through the mail.
Well, it's shocking that the other guy can do it for free.
Well, he's subsidizing it. So
with his business.
Right. With his shop. Selling mushrooms and selling cannabis, he's taking profits from that, and he's rolling it into buying these machines and paying scientists or paying testers or whatever to be on staff 7 days a week. Open all day long so people can come. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
That's amazing.
Thing
I mean, that's just someone who obviously wants to help
people. He really cares
about
people, yeah. It's great stuff. But anyway, if you go to drugsdata.org, you can also send them various different things. But the problem there is the cost. I mean, it's like $100 to run one of these tests. And your average heroin user isn't, even if they knew about the site, they're not going to go and spend $100 and then wait what could be 2 or 3 or 4 weeks to get the answer back.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, for all but the most responsible people, drugsdata.org is pretty much useless. But it's a cool site. It's good that it's there. If you are somebody who wants to use drugs responsibly, I highly recommend that you utilize their services. But it's costly.
Yeah, it makes things even more expensive. Like, if you already weren't spending $100 on these drugs, well, that's $100.
Yeah, if you just bought one ecstasy pill or something, or quote-unquote ecstasy pill at a club, you know, do you want to spend $100 to, first of all, you'd have to give up a whole pill, so you need to buy more than one.
Yeah.
It's costing.
I would think it'd be cheaper just to get your own kit. I don't know how much that costs.
Can you in New Hampshire,
Well, it's illegal.
You can get whatever you want,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah, you can order kits.
If you're driving around with it, you're going to get a paraphernalia charge, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it's a paraphernalia charge if you have the drugs kit separate. Like, let's say you just had a drug testing kit and no drugs.
I'm not sure. And you're driving
from point A to point B. I'm not a lawyer, but I think they'd have a tough time claiming that was paraphernalia at that point, because it's not in the context of being with actual drugs.
I did read the RSA, but I don't remember now because it was like January when I rated that bill.
I wonder if it would be illegal to have like a UDS cup, like a urine drug screen cup, because I guess it's medical equipment. Technically, anyone can order that stuff online.
True.
And sometimes, like, you know, occasionally at work, if we find drugs on somebody and we're curious, like, hey, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
We'll put a little bit of water in the UDS cup and just pour some of the stuff in just to see what it is. And it usually works. And then it'll pop for whatever it
really
is.
I'm surprised that works, because isn't it supposed to be testing based on... what's the word for, like, after you take a drug, there's a certain remnant in your system?
Yeah. I know that's not the scientific word.
It might not work as well, but, like, we will get results.
Because that's what those are supposed to look for. But maybe they look for the actual drug, too. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know.
Well, we have a caller on the line. It's David Hathaway, who actually gave me this show prep that I'm going to read tonight about the Kratom. So I'd like
Sheriff David Hathaway from Arizona...
And it's gone.
Yeah, he's calling on the SIP line. Maybe he needs to make a few changes to his setup. But you'll get him back, because, like you said, he sent this show prep in to the show. He is a border sheriff down in Arizona, an actual libertarian who got elected as a Democrat down there at Santa Cruz County, Arizona.
Very impressive. And he's just a very interesting guy. He wrote a very interesting book. And
yes, about immigration.
He basically wants people to know that, like, the immigrants are not as dangerous as, you know, the fear porn, you know, major media television programs want you to believe.
Well, yeah, they want you to believe, like, everyone crossing the border is, you know, like, part of the drug cartel, and they're, you know, they're going to break into your house and rob you and steal all your jobs, which is so,
no,
I mean...
Government agents will break into your house and rob you.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they're just projecting.
Yeah.
I was shocked to hear that they even use those cartel scary stories in New Hampshire, like we referenced earlier with the cop. Well, we can go ahead and get into this if you guys want.
Sure.
This is from the American Kratom Association, and it's just a open letter for immediate release. The FDA creates an unauthorized pocket ban authority on Kratom by abusing its import alert authority. So basically, that means that the Congress did give the FDA something called Import Alert Authority. And I'm not sure what they're actually allowed to use it for, but the American Kratom Association believes that they're illegally using it against kratom.
Mm.
And that just pisses me off. I wish I started growing a kratom tree last year.
Do they grow up here? I know it's like a
me and someone,
Asian.
I don't know if I should say we're looking to see if they could possibly grow up here. And according to, you know, I think we're like I forget what it's called, but we're area zone 6. Mm-hmm. Apparently it can grow up here.
Is that like a climate zone, growing zone kind of
thing? Yep. And apparently it can grow up here, which is shocking to me.
Cool.
Because if it grows in Thailand.
And they're trees, not bushes?
More like a bush. I don't know if I said tree.
Okay.
But you just use the leaves off of it and make tea.
Hmm.
And people also make like extracts out of it if you want to take it like in a pill or a gummy form.
Are coca plants illegal to grow?
Probably.
I mean, how can you make the actual plant? I mean,
it's crazy,
I guess, but plants are illegal.
Oh,
so,
gooseberries are illegal in New Hampshire.
That's right.
It's crazy because do you remember, Ian? Wasn't it just that it's an invasive species?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
You can't even make drugs out of it.
No, it's just gooseberries.
No.
They're just berries.
They're just these orange
sour. What I thought, but yeah, you never know.
They look like little tomatoes. They kind of suck, but I just was shocked. Ian was like, wow, these are so good. He really liked them.
They're okay.
And he was looking things up about them because neither of us had ever even heard of them, and we saw them at Market Basket, and
they're
we found
weird.
Out they're legal to grow.
Yeah.
Huh.
You liked them enough that you wanted to grow one.
No, I was only interested in growing it because it was illegal.
Oh, okay.
That's what made
just
it interesting.
Just the point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd want to grow a coca leaf plant, but I'd totally grow a kratom plant. They haven't made it illegal yet.
Not yet.
Basically.
But this is about how they're trying to make it illegal without actually making it illegal.
Without actually
right?
going through the process they're supposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Because
like
they've tried three times and three times they've been rejected.
Right. I remember reporting on it years ago here on Free Talk Live where whenever the FDA has one of these hearings, or I think it was actually the DEA, I think they mentioned it in the report that you're going to get to here, but...
Yep, it says the DEA rejected the FDA's petition.
The DEA actually seemed to listen to input from people. Maybe the Kratom manufacturers were paying them on the back end. I don't know why, but there's a lot of people that Kratom has helped, and you kind of touched on this earlier, that it's helped people break addictions, for instance.
Depression, just pain.
Is it a depression thing, too?
I don't want to say who, but Nikki has told me about a person she knows that uses it just because he has major pain.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and it's not major pain?
Yeah, I just said major pain.
Okay.
It made me laugh. I probably wouldn't have normally said major pain, but yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people, they kind of came out of the woodwork. They filed whatever, you know, statements with the DEA when they had these hearings, and it just got flushed. The whole proposal to make Kratom illegal just got taken off the table after a bunch of people said, hey, look, this is actually helpful, so leave us alone. Let us take our Kratom.
Well, I have David Hathaway on the air or on the line now, and I want to see what he has to say about this and see what brought this to his attention and everything. So, David, you're on the air with Free Talk Live.
Is he muted on the phone there? Nope, not that one. It would be the one to the left of it. Is that muted?
Unmuted.
Okay, then he's maybe not there. There may be some technical
Yeah, it looks like there's
difficulties.
Technical difficulties. We can't hear you. Sorry about that.
It may be our end. I could reset the phone system here.
Might have to do this after the break. Sorry about that, David, if you can hear us. But anyways, one thing that I was listening to a video about recently was that every time the government makes nootropics a little more illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they go after, they basically do what they do to cryptocurrency, to nootropics. They haven't actually gone through the processes to make it illegal. A nootropic is, it's a class of drugs such as racetams that, like piracetam, basically make your brain function better, and people use them.
I heard Matt described it to me as, like, Adderall that isn't bad for you.
Exactly. That's exactly
and
what
I'm like, oh, that actually sounds interesting.
Yep. But anytime the government goes after it, and they do it with trying to put a fear into the market instead of actually, like, making it illegal the way they're supposed to, all that happens is that the best companies move out of America.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you want to buy paracetam, you can buy it, but you won't get a certificate of authenticity. I forget exactly what they call it.
Yeah.
And, well, those are important because it proves that they've actually tested and it is 100% piracetam.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to buy it from some shady company.
Hmm.
And then you won't be able to get it into America because maybe the only really good companies are over in Europe.
Well, and going back to the Kratom, I think they're all like the negative marketing on, or the negative advertisement, whatever, about Kratom is kind of already starting to get out there, because I've heard some people who, you know, are totally in support of things like methadone and Suboxone to, like, as a, you know, medically assisted treatment to try to keep people clean off of opiates. People who support those kind of drugs were speaking out against Kratom, saying, oh, weird, it's really dangerous. You know, I've
it's
seen
just
people.
Addictive. I mean, I don't think it's
just
dangerous.
But like,
so
just like
sugar,
coffee,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sugar.
Like, everything is addictive. Exactly. And I think maybe people that are taking a lot of it,
mm-hmm,
maybe it could be different if somebody was taking, you know, an insane amount of it.
We did have a guy call in saying that he was really addicted to it
because
he was
taking a crazy amount.
Yeah,
and
dosing on it
die.
All day long, heavily dosing.
But you can't really overdose on it, right? You know, it's not like heroin or fentanyl. Where
I don't know that you can't. I honestly just don't know. But this guy was taking like 100 times more than I take.
Yeah.
And he didn't overdose or die, so it's pretty crazy.
I just think it could be really helpful for a lot of people to use as, like, medically assisted treatment to keep them clean off of street drugs, you know, opiates and stuff like that. And I do, you know, I think it could have a lot of benefits. So I thought it was kind of interesting that people who are in support of methadone, which is really, really bad for your body. I mean, when people try to get off methadone and Suboxone, the withdrawal symptoms last way longer than heroin or fentanyl.
Hmm.
I mean, that's going to last months of withdrawal side effects. I mean, it's just not good for you. If people find that works for them, then of course that's their decision. But I don't know, just to say that Kratom is more dangerous than any of these. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous.
A woman in this article is going to get, or this letter is going to get into it, but a woman who, Nora Volko, she testified to the DEA hearing that when the DEA threw out the FDA's attempt to make it illegal.
Mm-hmm.
She said that it has a similar effect as a dose of buprenorphine.
Oh, so Suboxone.
Oh, that's the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. I mean,
So that would be like Subutex, but basically the difference between that and Suboxone is Suboxone also has like a dose of Narcan in it.
Hmm.
So if you do try to do drugs, you won't get high.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yet somehow people get high off Suboxone, don't they?
They do. So it's so strange because I don't know how people do it, because I do know people who are using and simultaneously taking Suboxone strips. So I don't know if they just have to take more. I have no clue.
I just remember the guys in jail a decade ago were talking about it.
Yeah, they go really for a lot of money in there. Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation and maybe get David Hathaway on the air. You're listening to Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Thank you. USA News Update. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has formally announced his candidacy for the 2024 Republican nomination for president. DeSantis tweeted out his announcement due to glitches making his live event with Elon Musk delayed. President Biden commemorated the one-year anniversary of the mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas today. Speaking from the White House, Biden said,
I realize this is a really tough day for all families. Remembering is important, but it's also painful.
He again urged Congress to do something to stop the epidemic of gun violence. 19 children and 2 teachers were killed. Another group is warning people not to travel to Florida. The Human Rights Campaign has joined Equity Florida to issue the travel warning, saying several new anti-LGBTQ state laws make it risky and unsafe to travel to the Sunshine State. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and 3 beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my 5th concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. If you'd like to call in and get in on this conversation, call 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And it looks like we already have some callers on the line. We were having an issue, but we just restarted the machine. So let's see if this works. David Hathaway, are you on the air with us?
Man, we are striking out tonight. I don't know what's going on, Bonnie, and I'm very sorry this happened on your, your
they seem to be
re-inaugural episode.
They're unmuted over here. We restarted the Comrex, and they called back. I saw their calls pop up, but just can't hear their voices. Anyways, tonight we've been talking about how stupid the FDA is. Because they're trying to do a thing called a pocket ban.
What does that even mean?
I think that's
like
just,
you can't have it on your person or
no.
Like,
I think it's a term that this American Kratom Association is using as like just a way to describe what they're trying to do, but what they're actually utilizing is import alert authority. The FDA has that.
Okay. So basically, like, banning it without actually banning it.
Yep. They're trying to do a roundabout way. And the American Kratom Association says that it's illegal. And if you weren't listening to the last segment, kratom is the actual scientific word is pretty hard to say. It's like miratrosa. It's on here somewhere. I'll get to that. But it is a leaf that grows on a bush in Thailand. That's at least where it started growing. It probably grows lots of other places, too. But usually it gets sourced from Thailand. And it works on the opioid receptors, but it's not an actual opiate. And it's way better for you than, say, Adderall, if you're using it for attention. Because I don't even think we touched on that last segment, but you can use it for attention as
well.
More than just, you know, getting high.
I mean, and that's probably why it's being attacked, is because there are so many different uses. And I mean, like, the Adderall industry, like methadone, like all of those things
that are,
huge. Yeah, of course. And these are all like multi-million dollar industries,
with,
you know,
their hands in the government.
Oh, of course.
You know,
yeah.
So.
I mean, they have like 5-year-olds on Adderall and all different sorts of ADHD meds that are super addictive and, you know, have all sorts of side effects. So,
Bonnie, you should be able to get David on line one. I was just able to. No, that's line six. Line one.
Okay.
Try so, there.
Sheriff Hathaway, are you on with us? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Bonnie,
nice.
I can hear you.
Can hear you.
The sixth try is the charm in this case.
Well, that's my lucky number, so. Go ahead.
Yeah,
what's on your mind?
I want to talk a little bit about a conversation that Ian and Mark and Aria were having last night about the FBI intercepting American conversations thousands of times without even a FISA court order. And I think it was Aria suggested, well, why do they even go to the trouble of asking FISA if they're just going to do it illegally anyway? And they actually do it illegally all the time. And there is a facility, it's called the Special Operations Division Fusion Center for the Department of Justice. It's just south of the Dulles Airport in Chantilly, Virginia. And I've worked there before, and what they do is they have what they call light side and dark side operations. The light side is legal intercepts, and the dark side, NSA and CIA are in the same building, and they have an interface. They have DEA and FBI agents that are an interface between the light side and the dark side. And as a DEA supervisor, a member of DEA management out in the field, what they would do is they would send me a classified document that says, this information has been intercepted without a court order. You have to do what they call parallel construction. And if you want to look up what I'm talking about at the same time, just look up Special Operations Division, Chantilly, Virginia. There's a good outline of what they do on a website called Wikimapia. Wikimapia. And they do what they call parallel construction.
Yep.
We would get instructions from the Special Operations Division that this information is not to be included in any reports.
Mm-hmm.
You're not to tell any prosecutors about it. What you have to do, we're telling you that this activity is going on at this house, and you have to go independently corroborate it, create your own probable cause.
Oh, I see.
And they would call it, a pointer system. And so this disingenuous practice is called parallel construction, so they would actually have NSA and CIA in the same building with Department of Justice agents like FBI and DEA, and they would actually put a classified cover sheet on the intercepts and send it out to the field in the appropriate geographic area, like I was in Arizona. They'd send it to me, and they would say, destroy this document unless you had a classified facility, what they call a SCIF, to retain the document. But do not include it in any reports. Just use it to create your own case on that person. So they're already doing this anyway, what Aria was asking last night, if you recall that conversation, Ian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Edward Snowden, I think, revealed a lot of this 10 years ago, where the NSA was doing all kinds of spying, and it was suggested back then that they were handing this data over to the other policing agencies with a sort of a wink and a nod and saying, hey, you might want to investigate this person, but you have to do it legally, otherwise you won't be, because you can't use the illegally gathered data in court. So essentially, it's a way to for them to tip off their buddies about who's doing what, and then they have to somehow scrounge together a warrant to tap the phone or whatever to do it through the legal means.
That's clearly a violation of due process of the Fourth Amendment. Like, if it wasn't collected legally, this information, then you're just being surveilled, you know, broadly, illegally, just, what is it, just your text messages?
Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, and well, you know, NSA doesn't have an enforcement arm, so in order to get people, the guys with guns and handcuffs to throw you in a cage, they have to contact people who have access to the courts and the prison system, so they contact FBI and DEA. And another term for this is they call it walling it off, W-A-L-L, wall off the information. The information came from an illegal intercept, at least illegal for law enforcement purposes, but under the Patriot Act and that whole post 9/11 period, they came up with the idea that everybody should cooperate and share information. So that's how this developed, and it is actually a formal mechanism where there are DEA and FBI agents that have classified clearances that actually work every day with NSA, and then they bring the information over to what they call the light side operations, and they pass it to field operatives, telling them, do not under any circumstances document where this came from, because, you know, under discovery rules, as you know, Ian, you're entitled to discovery of everything in the case against you that the prosecution has. But this will never be included in discovery, and it is intentionally designed that way.
I mean, I see exactly how this works and everything, but it's just crazy to me that there can be evidence against you. Obviously, the judge and jury aren't using it, but it's evidence of how you got in this situation, and it's not being given to the prosecution, not to be given to the defense.
This is before a case is brought. This is,
I know. I'm just saying.
The investigation.
I understand all that. It just is so slimy.
And there's another thing called pretextual stops. You've probably heard this pretextual stop where an agency that has a wiretap going will call a local police department and says, we think that car is carrying drugs or it has money, that's the proceeds of money laundering, but we can't admit to you, you can't use any of our information in your documents of why you pulled over the car. So they'll say, manufacture your own probable cause, like the person failed to use a turn signal, pull the car over, search the car, but you're going to have to articulate your own probable cause in your report. And so that's that's called a pretextual stop, and that's also very common in law enforcement.
Yeah, we think that if you pull this car over, you're going to find 10 pounds of marijuana. You just have to cook up the reason why you pulled them over and then cook up an excuse to search.
So easy to cook up an excuse when there's so many laws. You're breaking one every time you drive, whether you know it or not.
Well, they can say whatever they want, right? Like, oh, well, you know, your eyes look this way or, you know, I smell this, even if they don't. A lot of it's subjective, so they can say whatever they want. You know, you were swerving, even if you weren't.
Get
it doesn't matter.
Out.
And that's the thing. Yeah, they can find any reason to pull you over. It doesn't matter what it is, and they can unfortunately pretty much do whatever they want.
Oh, I smell marijuana.
Yeah. And if I can jump over to the Kratom conversation a little bit, I was enjoying that. Like, there's actually a webinar going on right now as we speak, where the Kratom Association is informing, you know, partners that care about this subject, you know, like what the different efforts are to make it illegal in different states and at the federal level, and talking about the drug scheduling, like, yeah, the three criteria for a Schedule One drug is, like Ian said, no possible medicinal purpose. The second criteria, it has to have a high potential for abuse. And the third criteria, it has to have no ability to be used safely, even under medical supervision. So surprisingly, things that are not in Schedule One is fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine are not in Schedule One, but the mushrooms and the marijuana are. So it's just, it's goofy and crazy and insane. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and if you look at almost all of the drugs on Schedule One, if I'm not mistaken, do actually have, like, they don't fit any of those criterias. Like, they could possibly have some sort of medical benefit, especially if used in a controlled environment, you know, with a physician or whoever present.
Heroin probably meets the high potential for abuse, but but it has to meet all three, supposedly, and
I mean,
it doesn't.
Doesn't morphine have a high potential for abuse?
Doesn't fentanyl?
Clicking the button? Yeah.
It's all arbitrary. It's all political. I mean, that's why these things are designated the way they are. It's political.
It also seems to me like a situation where they already set something up. They can't you know, do it as, they can't backtrack. Like, they can't.
Yeah, they can't say they're sorry. They can't admit that they were wrong.
And they don't like, I mean, I'm sure they would love to bring drugs up the schedule, but to bring them down,
right.
You know, that's.
It's like saying we were wrong and having to forgive all these people in prison for, you know, decades.
For decades, they've been trying to bring that off of schedule. And if you have time for one more thing, the another thing you were talking about yesterday is how the feds distribute child porn. And mm-hmm. It is true, like there's two categories of undercover operation with the feds. There's the traditional undercover where you produce money and then the target gives you the illegal item. But then there's what they call reverse undercover.
Yeah.
And I've been a lot of these operations. That's where the government sells the cocaine and then the person brings the money. The government sells the machine gun and then the person brings the money. In this case, it's exactly true. I've seen them do it. They have in the FBI and in what's called HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, they have whole teams of guys that have child porn on computers, and they try to find some guy to accept it.
Ew.
And if you accept an email that has child porn, then you're implicated in, you know, possessing and distributing, conspiracy to distribute or possess child pornography. So, yeah, it's just in the category of what they call reverse undercover operations, which is accepted by the feds and by the U.S. Attorney's Office, where the government does the illegal activity and then charges the people that participate.
Yep.
I don't want to get into all the details, but whenever the feds raided Ian's house in this studio that we're in right now in 2016, afterwards he had to go visit a local cop to look over his computer, just, you know, clear it, you know, whatever, to make sure that it was okay to use. And that guy's job title was child porn expert. Imagine wanting to grow up to be that.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe that wasn't the exact title, but it was close to that. Ian told me it before.
Yeah.
And I just thought...
Well, they have whole units that do that. I've been in the buildings where they have whole sections that are kind of closed off from the other investigations because it's, you know, so quote-unquote sensitive and hush-hush, and that's what they have computers that are filled with child porn, and they try to find some mope out there, some lonely guy at a bar who will agree to give you his email, and then you can send him some child porn and charge him for a crime. But it's
coming from the entrapment?
I mean, it absolutely is, and they're just perpetuating the issue.
It's making more prisoners. That's going to make America great again, isn't it? Nope.
Yeah.
Make America prosperous.
Anyway, that's all I have for tonight. Just another thing on my mind is Ross Ulbricht is in prison less than an hour from my house, and trying to visit him, and they don't allow visitors. He's in Tucson, and I'm just south of Tucson.
Wow.
But anyway.
Wait. When you say they don't allow visitors, is that because he's on lockdown? I know he posted to Twitter recently that they've got him on lockdown for an
Well, it's because he has weird court conditions. Like Lynn Ulbricht is my friend, his mom, mm-hmm. and we're always talking. And his conditions for visitors is they had to be on a visitor list before he was convicted. They can't add anybody after his conviction. And she doesn't understand why, but it was just weird conditions they have. You can write him a letter.
Yeah.
If you go to freeross.org, you can send him books. You can write him a letter. I think you can add money to his commissary. But I'm also trying to visit as under the law enforcement, you know, routine, mm-hmm. like see if I can find an excuse just to go visit him and, mm-hmm. you know, go say hi, because two life sentences plus 40 years is just ridiculous. I also wrote a letter to Biden at his mom's, at Lynn's request, asking that his sentence be commuted.
Okay.
Who knows if that'll have any effect, but
can't hurt.
We'll
it can't hurt. So you're saying even as a sheriff, you yourself are having a difficult time going to simply visit a man in federal prison.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because he has this pre-approved visitor list that at this point in time nobody else can be added onto it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
ridiculous. Well, thank you so much for your call.
And, have a good evening, guys.
Yep. That's a lot of good, you know, intel, because...
Yeah, it was great.
We can, you know, assume that they're doing things like this, but it's always interesting to hear it from somebody who actually, you know...
He worked there. He was a DEA agent previously.
Yep, and he's turned his life around, and now he's, you know, a much more productive member of society.
Well, he's still a government bureaucrat, but
yeah,
at least he's
books
a libertarian.
And he spreads good information and things like that.
No, that's true. His book is very good. If you're interested in immigration freedom, then check out David Hathaway's book on immigration.
And the other thing that it brought to mind is just even in Keene, New Hampshire, this happens every day. This happens all the time in different cities all around the country. But there was a guy in Keene, New Hampshire that he got, you know, baited into a conversation with a 13 or 15-year-old on, I don't remember the age, but underage girl, over 13, under 18. And he was, like, going to meet up with her, quote-unquote, at the Wendy's. And when he went there, of course, it was just cops ready to jump in. Like,
that happened actually, no, to my that friend.
Was, no, you're misrecalling that story. That man was talking to what he believed was a college girl. She was not, quote-unquote, underage. He was arrested for soliciting prostitution.
Well, either way, it's the same thing. It's entrapment. I mean, what kind of... You're not bringing any value to this world by going out there and looking for people to put into prison who have jobs and families and stuff. You'd be being more productive if you were just out there being a prostitute.
Honestly, and exactly like the exact story that you just told your... about, you know, someone meeting up with the 14-year-old girl or whatever, that literally happened to one of my coworkers. I worked with him at a restaurant. Really nice guy. Like, we always described him as a golden retriever. Like, not much going on up there, but, like, super nice, like, handsome young kid. He had to be younger than I was. So, at the time of this story, I feel like he was, you know, like, not even old enough to drink. He was probably, like, 20 years old.
Wow.
So, he was a young man himself. And he was going back and forth, you know, met this girl online. She's like, I'm 14 years old. And, of course, in the text message conversations, ton of incriminating stuff. She's like, oh, you know, I'm not old enough. And he even made a few comments like, you know, showing that he understood that she was under the legal. So, I mean, they totally entrapped him. Then he goes to Walmart, of all places, to meet up with this girl. And they, I forget what it's called, but it's like the Worcester County. This is in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. It's like the Worcester County pedophile catchers or whatever.
Oh, is this the private
It's a private thing. Mm-hmm. But what's really upsetting is, like, okay, first of all, this is a young kid. I mean, when I was 14, my boyfriend was older than that. So, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that.
And you said you described him as being kind of innocent and things
he
like that.
He was super innocent.
And
like,
nice.
Such a nice kid. And, he had dreams to become a firefighter. They literally...
That's over.
Absolutely over. They ruined his life. And it's really... You know, what really upsets me about it is there's, like, actual pedophiles out there and actual people who are doing sick things. And instead of catching the real monsters, they're entrapping young kids who are like in college, and, you know, like people who are actually innocent. They're almost like creating these issues by, like, you know, making up some fake 14-year-old girl and like roping some
kid. This is
kid.
A thought crime. I mean, ultimately, right?
It is.
Because if there were a real teenage girl, a real under the legal age teenage girl, and he met with that person, that alone isn't a crime. It's the actual act of having sex with that person that is the crime.
Yeah,
right?
He didn't even do anything yet.
Right. How is the intention to, or the saying of a thing, an actual crime? I mean, that to me is absolutely ridiculous. What if he changed his mind? What if he met this girl and he was like,
yeah, she's
oh my
actually
God.
Too immature.
Yeah, she's,
yeah,
this
whatever.
Is not the right person for me. Yeah. What was I thinking? And then he leaves. You know, then nothing would have happened.
If that's not illegal, I'm seriously wondering, how can they put him in jail for...
In this particular case, with my friend, he did not, like, go to jail or anything, but,
really?
Like, he's not going to be a firefighter. Like, it just ruined his
reputation.
Normally
these guys call the cops. Normally these private investigator types.
Well, he obviously got some kind of charge, just not...
Mm-hmm. I don't think he did, though. I don't know if he had to, like, go to court and get a lawyer and maybe won. But to me, he didn't break a law.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're admitting, yeah, I know, it's wrong, you're 14, blah, blah, blah.
But it's not
he technically didn't break a law, though.
But that's the thing. It's not just the Worcester County private people that do these investigations. The actual police do this, too. There is an officer in Keene who, like, made that his... That he made his name on doing these sorts
of
investigations.
That's what I want to do when I grow up. I want to pretend to be a 14-year-old girl on the internet and talk to boys.
He would pretend to be 14-year-old, I think boys and girls, on the internet, and then they would wrap these people up with criminal charges. I don't know what the actual charge is. Maybe it's like conspiracy to have sex with a minor or something. I don't know.
That's just creating worse criminals. A 20-year-old who might date a 14-year-old, even if they actually had sex and stuff, is that going to be worse or better than somebody who has no ambition in life, steals because they can't get a job because they've had their life ruined because they went to jail, they learned how to do meth, they learned how to, you know, shank people or whatever while they were in jail. They lost all hope, now they're depressed, they do, you know, drugs.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Well, I want to bring Tim on the line really fast.
Go ahead.
Is that one?
That's it?
That's what I was asking. Sorry. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yep, I got you. excuse me. Always got like phlegm in the back of my throat. TMI.
It's okay.
Well, Ian, when is your sentencing date again?
It is currently July 17th, assuming it doesn't get pushed back, which, if you judge based on Aria's experience, it could very well be pushed back again at this point. So as of right now, that is the current date for the Crypto 6, the final sentencing of the Crypto 6.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of smoke shops where I am in Southwest Florida. I changed counties. Anyway, the one that's real close here, I won't name the name, but they had a Bitcoin ATM in there, and they also sell Kratom, of course, and that stuff called DB8
and Delta 8
varieties. Yeah, Delta 8. And I got a little Kratom there today, and I asked the guy, I said, what happened to your Bitcoin ATM? And he said, we got rid of it. I said, why'd you get rid of it? And he said, people weren't using it. I guess it wasn't cost effective or something.
Wow.
Or maybe it was just the space it was taking up.
That sucks. Because we asked our closest smoke shop to us when we were getting CBD for my dog why they lost their Bitcoin ATM.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said the owner found out that a lot of scams were happening through it. So they didn't want to be, responsible for that. It's kind of understandable.
Where are you in South Florida?
Right now I'm in Lee County, and I've lived in Collier County most of my life.
Are there a ton of Bitcoin ATMs in your area?
Compared to Collier County, yes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that, you know, they maybe more are going to disappear. This particular guy said, no, it's not for political reasons. He didn't even know. He didn't even know about, like, how the FBI goes after political targets with this kind of stuff.
Right.
But, I told him a little bit about that. You said you got CBD for your dog. I got a question about that, but I hear a commercial.
Let's put you on hold. And if anybody else wants to call in, that number to get on Free Talk Live is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Keep listening.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.